Okay, the next presentation is entitled Evaluation of Non-Traditional Herbicides for Crabgrass Management in St. Augustine Grass. B. Glenn, B. Brecky, J. Farrell, J. Unruh, K. Kenworthy, G. McDonald. Presenting is B. Glenn.
All right, we're in the home stretch, so this is where the weird stuff starts. All right, this is a very, very common scene throughout summer months in the state of Florida. This is where the phone calls start, the letters, possibly scathing, because everyone in your neighborhood knows that you have got crabgrass in your yard. This is the weed in question, southern crabgrass. Again, it is a summer annual, very prolific seed producer. Coupled with that is it spreads very rapidly by rooting at nodes, and that can often form a dense mat in your turf canopy, filling in a lot of those voids and just causing variations in your turf grass. St. Augustine grass is the most commonly grown turf grass in home lawns in the state of Florida. Despite a lot of recent bad publicity, it is still the number one option because of its moderate drought tolerance, as well as superior shade tolerance among the warm season turf grasses, as well as maintaining good winter color, especially in the mild climates of Florida. Okay, the reason why there is an interest in crabgrass in St. Augustine at this particular time is due to recent label changes and things like that. There are currently no post-emergent herbicide options available for homeowners for control of crabgrass in St. Augustine grass. One of the better products to use, Azulam, was relabeled a while back for use in sod production only. So if the homeowner sees the crabgrass, then that's when usually they're thinking about controlling it. There's nothing for them to do. Another big part of this, kind of the other side of the coin, is the increasing popularity in the organic movement. There's been a lot of homeowners who want weed control, and they don't want traditional synthetic herbicides to be used for that weed control. So they're looking for more options. Another part of this is due to current and recent legislation. In Canada, they have passed in the past decade something called the cosmetic pesticide ban, which essentially bans all herbicides from being used in home lawns. And even though that hasn't reached the United States yet, there is a possibility for those kind of legislations to be enacted not only statewide but also locally. So what are these alternative herbicides? Basically, it's anything that is considered a non-traditional herbicide or a non-synthetic herbicide. One of these that was used in these evaluations was vinegar, the main active ingredient being acetic acid. It is a non-selective herbicide and is used as a contact material and has been used recently with varying levels of success in organic farming. The rate of acetic acid that was used for this study was 30%. Comparing that to common household vinegar, it's around 5 to 8%. So quite a bit stronger than that common household vinegar. Another product that was looked at is borax. This is commonly used as a laundry detergent. The reason why this product was shown because it has had effectiveness in earlier trials in ground ivy. So we wanted to evaluate if this product did have any effectiveness against crabgrass control. Another product that has been used commonly in household remedies, you see a lot of this on the internet, is baking soda, and we've also gotten a lot of questions about this. It is very, very common. You can pick it up anywhere, and people have been spreading it around and claiming that it does work. Along with this is another product that actually has been developed and marketed called AG Crabgrass Killer, and this is by Garden Weasel. The ingredients, sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda, coupled with wheat and corn flour, cinnamon, and cumin. It sounds more like a household recipe than an ingredient for an herbicide. It does smell very good, so if you are applying it on an empty stomach, you might get a little bit hungry. So the objective with these is to evaluate their effectiveness on crabgrass control as well as St. Augustine grass tolerance. So looking again to greenhouse trials, the design these were set up as randomized complete block designs with four applications. Three different crabgrass timings were used, one at 1 to 2 leaf stage, 3 to 4 leaf stage, and 1 to 2 tiller stage. Ratings were taken visually on a scale of 0 to 100%, 100% being complete crabgrass control. Analysis was performed using ProcTLM and levels with a level of confidence of at the 0.05% level. Okay, setting up this graph, we have crabgrass control on the y-axis. We had varying rates of vinegar application, three different rates, and then two being applied at a split application level. Looking at initial crabgrass control, the only crabgrass control that was acceptable was seen at the lower leaf stage, that 1 to 2 leaf stage level. And this was 7 days after. We saw relatively good control at that split application, around 80% of the vinegar. Also, these products were compared to a standard rate of Azulam as kind of a comparison, even though that's not labeled for use in homeowners' lawns. So at 7 days after, some control. However, moving ahead to 21 days after, that control dropped off substantially for each of those applications of vinegar to around 50%, where Azulam was the only one that had acceptable levels. Looking at some of the injury that we did see, again, this is a desiccant, so we saw leaf burning. However, after that burning had subsided, you did see rapid regrowth. In our borax trials, again, this is at 7 days after, surprisingly, there was relatively good control at the highest rate of borax that was applied, a little bit above 60%. However, moving ahead 21 days after, that control had dropped off substantially to below 20% for each of those application rates. The injury that we did see with borax was, you know, it does have salt in it, so burning of the leaf tips, especially at that younger leaf stage. But again, after injury had subsided, rapid regrowth. Looking at sodium bicarbonate, we applied this with a wet application, which means we applied it on a wet leaf surface as well as dry leaf surface at a relatively high rate. Some control was seen, 50%, at 7 days after. However, by 21 days after, that control again had dropped off significantly. Okay, this is the improved formulation of sodium bicarbonate. At the highest rate of crabgrass killer, we saw adequate levels of control, around 80% with the highest rate. Looking at 21 days after, it had dropped off substantially. However, among all the products, this is kind of our best bet, because even the highest rate is around 50% control. Moving into what the injury looked like. This was untreated. This is the lower rate of crabgrass control, of crabgrass killer. This is the highest rate. And this is sodium bicarbonate. Again, when comparing the two same rates, crabgrass killer and sodium bicarbonate, there is substantial difference in the level of control compared to one another. In the study, we took the individual components of crabgrass killer, broke them out, seeing if they individually had any activity or if it was more of a synergistic effect. By looking at the data, the only one that had any kind of control was the crabgrass killer, so all those products together separately, not a whole lot. The reason why is we hypothesize is one of those ingredients in the crabgrass killer was flour. When you're handling this product, the flour, it seemed to adhere a lot better to the surface with that addition than just sodium bicarbonate alone. So, you know, you had more activity and more surface area with that leaf. All right, moving ahead to field trials, which were also conducted. These were performed at the West Florida Research and Education Center in the Panhandle of Florida during the summers of 2009 and 2010. They were performed on an established block of Raleigh-St. Augustine grass with crabgrass overseeded into them. It was a randomized complete block design with three replications. Only two timings were used, one at the 1 to 2 leaf stage and one at the 1 to 2 tiller stage of crabgrass growth. The ratings were taken, again, for visual crabgrass control as well as turf grass injury on a scale of 0 to 100%, 100% being complete turf grass injury, so brown turf. Analysis was also performed using the same method. Looking at vinegar and borax, these two were grouped together because, again, we didn't see a whole lot of activity in greenhouse trials, but we wanted to evaluate what happened when testing them on St. Augustine grass. At 7 days after in the field, around 50% control for vinegar, but turf grass injury was relatively extreme. Again, this is a non-selective product, so you had injury on both of these different species. The borax, not a whole lot of control at all at 7 days after, and again, you did see some turf grass injury. Moving ahead to 21 days after, turf grass injury had dropped off for both, with a little bit still lingering for vinegar. However, the crabgrass control had dropped off substantially for both of those activities as well. This is the type of injury that we did see with vinegar. Again, non-selective herbicide, extreme amounts of injury 1 day after, upwards of 95%. We knew this was going to happen, however, we wanted to determine if it had any effect on crabgrass, perhaps more so than on St. Augustine. By 7 days after, you were getting some green up, however, the control of crabgrass, you know, really wasn't adequate enough in order to justify using this product. Okay, so thinking about greenhouse trials, the most effective product that we did see was AG Crabgrass Killer. This is at the 1 to 2 leaf stage of crabgrass. We've got about 50% control. However, we did see large amounts of turf grass injury initially. However, by 21 days after, that turf grass injury had subsided, and that control was still a little bit around, you know, a little bit above 40%. Moving ahead to the 1 to 2 tiller crabgrass stage, this was applied a little bit hotter months in June, a little bit drier as well, 7 days after. A little bit less control and quite a bit more injury, around 50%, which is, of course, unacceptable. But, you know, in evaluating this, seeing if this is your only option, you know, this might be something that would be tried. However, moving ahead to 21 days after, that control drops off substantially, but we did still see lingering turf grass injury. So turf grass safety would definitely be something of a consideration when using this product. Some of the injury that we did see in the field, this is the highest rate of crabgrass killer. Again, if you look at the injury, it's kind of scattered throughout the plot. When using this product, especially at a very high rate, which this is twice the recommended rate, you get a lot of clumping. And usually within those clumps of product, that's when you're going to see the injury really coming out. And so when you are using this product, you know, that's something to consider. Summarizing our data, looking at vinegar, borax, and sodium bicarbonate alone, really inadequate crabgrass control in order to justify those products, coupled with the high rate of St. Augustine injury that we did see with many of these products. Looking at AG Crabgrass Killer, again, probably the most effective product that we did see. Limitations, quite a few. One of those being cost. Currently, they're being marketed in, you know, bottles that sell for around $20. These bottles are only being able to be applied, recommended around 100 to 200 square feet. So if you're talking about 1,000 square feet, this product is going to run you in the, you know, thousands of dollars. So from a cost standpoint, that might be an issue, especially if you're applying it to very, very large acreage. Also, turf grass safety is coming to question. If this product is used, there is potential for spot treatment if you have particularly large areas of crabgrass infestation with not a lot of turf grass, just to get a handle on that stuff. And if those things don't work, there's also a possibility of this product being used for something else. All right, and with that, I will be happy to entertain any questions. The question is if we used any of these products in combination with herbicide. We have not, for this evaluation, we were just looking at, you know, possible ability to use in home lawn situations without those herbicides. So just, again, for crabgrass control, since there are no post-emergent options, this would be kind of the last resort for many homeowners. In other situations, it would be the only option because in case they just wanted to use organic products. Yeah, the question is, does it say that it's selective? It does. It has a list of weeds that it does control, and it does say that it is safe on many types of turf grasses, including St. Augustine. This product was applied directly by the recommendations on the label, so at the lower rates, we did see less injury, but again, we did see less control as well. So when using this product, It definitely would probably, there's no direct science to it, I don't think. You know, it's going to have to, it is somewhat effective, but it's going to have to be used sparingly and more or less tested in order to see its effectiveness.
Last question.
All right. All right, thank you.
Okay, well, thank our speaker.